بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وسلم تسليما كثيرا أما بعد No doubt the blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala they are numerous and there are many and they are descending upon us consecutively day in and day out rather breath after breath the blessings of health and wealth and safety and security the blessings from the worldly life and the affairs of this dunya and likewise the blessings that are related to the deen and if we were to count them we could not enumerate them as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala he mentioned وَإِن تَعُدُّوا نِعْمَةَ اللَّهِ لَا تُحْسُوهَا And if you were to try to count the blessings of Allah, you could not enumerate all of them. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He mentioned, وَمَا بِكُم مِّن نِعْمَةٍ وَمَا بِكُم مِّن نِعْمَةٍ فَمِنَ اللَّهِ And whatever blessings that you have, whatever good that you have in this worldly affair, in the deen or in the dunya, whatever you have from good and from blessing, then verily it's from Allah. Allah Azza wa Jal, He is the bestower of blessings. Alone, subhanahu wa ta'ala. So although we cannot count them, nor enumerate them, there's no doubt with regards to the most virtuous of them, and the greatest and most lofty and beneficial of all of those blessings, rather the foundation of that. The foundation of the blessings is the blessing of guidance and the blessing of beneficial knowledge and the success to apply that in the correct manner. Ni'matul hidayah wa tawfiqi wa tasdidi min Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The blessing of guidance. Guidance from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Guidance to al-Islam. The Islam of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and his companions. And Allah, He mentioned about this, that He has perfected this blessing. Allah, He mentioned that He has perfected this blessing, subhanahu wa ta'ala, in the end of the life of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, أَلْيَوْمَ أَكْمَلْتُ لَكُمْ دِينَكُمْ On this day I have completed for you your religion. وَأَتْمَمْتُ عَلَيْكُمْ نِعْمَتِي And I have perfected my favor for you. وَرَضِيتُ لَكُمُ الْإِسْلَامَ دِينَ And I am pleased for you with Islam as your religion and way of life. So this is the blessing of blessings. And this is the foundation of all good. And the one who goes to this life, and he was never given success to have this blessing, then he's a true loser and a failure. And he is from the wretched and the despicable. And likewise, those who have this blessing, but they do not maintain it and cherish it and preserve it and protect it until they live upon it properly and die upon it correctly, likewise, they'll be from the losers. وَلِيَذُ بِاللَّهِ So this blessing, it has to be cherished. It has to be guarded. It has to be protected. And this requires knowledge. First, it has to be perfected. It has to be established. And then after that, it has to be maintained and preserved. And all of this, may Allah bless you and increase you in good, it requires knowledge. It requires knowledge. Some people came to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and they were considering it a favor that they accepted Islam. A favor for Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam that they accepted Islam and they're following him. And this is incorrect. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He reprimanded them. يَمُنُّنَّ عَلَيْكَ أَنْ أَسْلَمُوا Or they considered a blessing that they accepted Islam. And he to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam like they did him a favor. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He commanded His Prophet to say to them, قُلْ لَا تَمُنُّوا عَلَيَّ إِسْلَامَكُمْ Say to them, O Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, don't consider the blessing for me, or that you're helping me or a favor for me. that you have accepted al-Islam. بَلِلَّهُ يَمُنُّ عَلَيْكُمْ أَنْ هَدَاكُمْ لِلْإِيمَانِ إِن كُنْتُمْ صَادِقِينَ. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He commanded His Prophet to say, But rather, it is Allah who has bestowed a great blessing upon you by guiding you to the faith, if you are really truthful. So therefore, guidance to Islam is the blessing of Allah Azza wa Jal, and the favor from Allah. Minnatullahi Azza wa Jal ala ibadihi. Minnatullahi Azza wa Jal ala ibadihi. And minna is a great blessing and a favor and a bounty and a grace. And the greatest of all that is minnatul hidayah or minnatul Islam, is the bounty and the grace and the blessing of al-Islam. And this is from the favor of Allah and His mercy that He has for those whom He loves and He selects and He chooses. Subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah, He mentions, He said, وَلَوْلَا فَضْلُ اللَّهِ عَلَيْكُمْ وَرَحْمَتُهُ مَا زَكَى مِنْكُمْ مِنْ أَحَدٍ أَبَدًا. That if it had not been for the grace of Allah upon you and His mercy, then not one of you would have been purified ever. Meaning not one of you would have been a Muslim and accepted al-Islam ever. مَا زَكَى مِنْكُمْ مِنْ أَحَدٍ أَبَدًا وَلَكِنَّ اللَّهَ يُزَكِّي مَنْ يَشَاءُ. But rather it is Allah, He purifies whom He wills. Meaning He purifies His heart from shirk and from nifaq. And He purifies His heart from the false beliefs and the corrupt ideologies. And He enters him by His grace and mercy into al-Islam. And He enters him by His grace and mercy into al-Islam. This is the favor of Allah Azza wa Jal. A believer, he will remember that this is a blessing from Allah. And he will cherish that. And he will take care of that. And he will love Allah for that. He will love Allah for that blessing. Alhamdulillah, Allah guided me. He will say to himself, Alhamdulillah, ala ni'mat al-Islam wal hidayah. Alhamdulillah, ala ni'mat al-Sunnah. Alhamdulillah, ala ma'rifat al-Salafiyya wal-Ulama al-Haqi wal-Huda. Knowing the scholars and the lights like this. A great blessing from Allah Azza wa Jal. A favor from Him. Allah, He mentioned likewise in this affair, وَلَكِنَّ اللَّهَ حَبَّبَ إِلَيْكُمْ الْإِيمَانِ وَزَيَّنَهُ فِي قُلُوبِكُمْ. But rather, it's Allah Azza wa Jal. It is Allah Azza wa Jal. He is the one who has made faith beloved to you. It's not from a person's wisdom or a person's cleverness or because of his status or rank in the society. But rather, it's a pure favor. وَلَكِنَّ اللَّهَ حَبَّبَ إِلَيْكُمُ الْإِيمَانِ وَزَيَّنَهُ فِي قُلُوبِكُمْ. It is Allah who has made the faith beloved to you. And it is Allah who has decorated this inside of your hearts. And many people, has been times in their life whenever the most detestable affairs would be the affairs mentioned with regards to faith and piety and obedience. And it would seem detestable for them. And if they spoke about praying or prostrating, they would not have time for that. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He guided their hearts. And He made the faith beloved to them. And now that which they used to detest, they love it. And that which they used to love from falsehood and evil ways and from disobedience and actions of deviation and indecency, they detest it. And it's a favor from Allah Azza wa Jal. وَكَرَّهَ إِلَيْكُمُ الْكُفْرَ وَالْفُسُوقَ وَالْإِسْيَانِ. And it is Allah Azza wa Jal likewise who has made disbelief and sins and disobedience detestful to you. These are affairs of the heart. And it is Allah Azza wa Jal who has control of the hearts. So therefore a believer, he will know that the faith in his heart and the fact that he loves the truth, this is a favor from Allah. That the iman that he has in his heart and that he prefers the obedience of Allah and his messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he loves that and he strives to be upon that. And whenever he thinks about that, he finds happiness and ease and contentment. This is a blessing from Allah. This is a favor from Allah. If a believer, he finds that if he thinks about disbelief or the ways of corruption and decency and major sin and foulness and corruption and evil and acts of disobedience, whenever he thinks about these affairs, he detests that and he dislikes that and he seeks refuge with Allah Azza wa Jal, that he would fall into any of that. This is a favor from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He mentioned about these people, أُولَيْكَ هُمَ الرَّاشِدُونَ. They are the ones who are rightly guided. And rightly guided meaning with regards to their knowledge and their application. They're rightly guided with regards to their knowledge and their application. So this is the issue here, to show thanks to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for this blessing. And that means to learn it properly and to learn the details of that affair and to know it upon clarity and insight with evidence and proof. And likewise, along with that, to know everything that is contrary and everything that would weaken it or everything that would bring deficiency to the blessing or to corrupt it or to blemish it or to cause a deficiency therein. A believer, he will want to know about that And he will also want to know about all of the things that could invalidate it from its beginning or from its origin and be a means to take it away from him entirely. And likewise, those affairs that will make it corrupted or deficient or weak. So this deen is the greatest blessing. And in the scales, it is the heaviest of affairs. The shahada, la ilaha illallah, coupled with the shahada, anna Muhammadan abduhu wa rasuluhu sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, this is the heaviest of affairs. But at the same time, for some people, that statement and that testification is not heavy. For some people, that statement and that testification is very heavy. And for others, it's not so heavy and it's light. And the people of Iman and the people of Al-Islam, they're not the same. And this goes back to the affairs of knowledge and application and determination and striving against one's soul. Some people, they will have the general guidance and they'll be Muslims, but they don't have the detailed guidance on how to be steadfast upon obedience and to be upright in their speech and their conduct and that which they see and that which they look at and that which they say and how they move and how they give and how they take and where their wealth comes from and where it goes and the likes like this and all the affairs of their life. There's a legislation and a decree and there's a Sharia and there's accountability upon that. So it requires detailed guidance. Those who learn that and apply that and strive against their souls upon that way, that statement is heavy in their scales. And those who fall short in that, then their shahada will be deficient in light accordingly. It will be deficient in light accordingly. And this is the case that we should be afraid of our Islam, and that we should fear that it will be deficient, or that it will be taken from us, or that it will be replaced, or that we will be replaced, and Allah will bring about people who love Him, and He loves, Subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَلِيَذُ بِاللَّهِ مِنْ ذَلِكَ وَلِيَذُ بِاللَّهِ مِنْ ذَلِكَ. And Allah Subhanahu wa ta'ala, He mentioned about the previous nations. He mentioned about the previous nations, فَلَمَّا زَاغُوا أَزَاغَ اللَّهُ قُلُوبَهُمْ, that they were upon guidance, the Jews and the followers of Musa alayhi salam, they were upon guidance and they were upon knowledge. But whenever they deviated and turned away from the application of that knowledge, Allah caused their hearts to go astray, and He caused them to deviate. And if we look at this verse here, and the verses before that, and this is a lesson for a believer. Allah, He mentioned in this verse here, the people of Musa, alayhi salam, فَلَمَّا زَاغُوا أَزَاغَ اللَّهُ قُلُوبَهُمْ. Whenever they deviated away from the truth upon knowledge and light, and they turned away from that, and they turned away from that upon knowledge, then Allah, He caused their hearts to deviate. He caused their hearts to deviate. The verses before this, Allah Azza wa Jal, He addressed the believers. Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu, lima taquluna ma la taf'alun. O you who believe, why do you say that which you do not do? O you who believe, why do you say that which you do not do? Kabara maqatan inda Allahi an taqulu ma la taf'alun. So great and detestful is it with Allah Azza wa Jal that you would say that which you do not do. So a believer, he testifies there's nothing worthy of worship except for Allah. That means he will submit to Him and comply to Him with love and sincerity. And he will be truthful with that. And he will comply with his heart with servitude and trust and reliance and love and hope and fear. And likewise, he will comply with his body parts in submission and surrender, complying to the commandments and avoiding and staying away from the prohibitions. And this also requires for the application and for a believer to realize and actualize the other part of this testification, and that is Muhammad is the messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and that he will abide by his legislation, and he will learn the legal ways and the sunnah of the messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he will restrict himself to that. So this is what this requires. And by turning away from that obedience or following one's desires and lust, then this is in reality turning away from that, from that covenant and that promise and that bond and that contract and that shahada, and bringing deficiency therein. So this is the case here. The shahada of a believer and his Islam and his Iman, it can be strong and it can be high and it can be very beneficial, but likewise it can be weakened. But likewise it can be weakened and it can even be invalidated. So because of this, the people of knowledge not only have their written works about clarifying the proper deen and the proper belief and the proper creed, and written works clarifying the proper methodology and manners and etiquette of a believer in his life, and likewise written works clarifying how to worship Allah, how to perform the actions of worship properly and in according to the sunnah, and likewise with regards to transactions, so on and so forth. They clarify these, and many works and details have come in the books of the people of knowledge, but likewise they have clarified the affairs that invalidate the religion, and likewise they have clarified the affairs that will bring weakness and deficiency to the religion. And with regards to the affairs that invalidate the religion, they have books entitled Nawaqib al-Islam, Nawaqib al-Islam, the invalidators of al-Islam, or the nullifiers of al-Islam. And they have chapters in the books of fiqh called Bab al-Riddah, and the likes like this, the chapter of al-Riddah, and that is to turn away and leave al-Islam, to apostate, wudiyadu billah. And these issues have been clarified. In order for a believer to know them and to guard his deen and to stay away from them and avoid them. And likewise, the people of knowledge have clarified the issues with regards to that which is lesser than the invalidators. And it's not something that will nullify the deen from the foundation, and not something that will take one from the deen or remove him from al-Islam, but it will bring deficiency. Affairs that will bring deficiencies to the religion. And they have written works like this work that we began studying tonight, bi'idhnillahi ta'ala, and they titled them Al-Kaba'ir, the major sins. From those who have works like this, Al-Imam Al-Dhahabi, rahimahullahu ta'ala, he died in the year 748. Al-Imam Al-Dhahabi has a book called Al-Kaba'ir, and it's very beneficial. Rahimahullahu ta'ala, and likewise, the book that we began tonight, insha'Allah, Al-Kaba'ir, by Al-Imam Shaykh Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahhab, rahimahullahu ta'ala, he died in the year 1206. He died in the year 1206. So just as it is incumbent for a believer to know the truth and to know the guidance in order to follow that, just as it is incumbent and an obligation for a believer to know the truth upon clarity and to know the guidance upon insight in order to follow that, this will not be complete and perfect until likewise he knows falsehood. This will not be complete and perfect until likewise he knows falsehood, yani in detail, and he knows misguidance, and he knows the ways that are contrary to al-Islam. So a believer, he will learn Tawheed. And from the perfection of that, he will learn about Shirk. And likewise, he will learn about the Sunnah. And then from the perfection of that, he will learn about innovation. And likewise, he will learn about obedience. And from the perfection of that, he will know the avenues of disobedience and the actions that are impermissible and the likes like this. So a believer, he has to be diligent yani, to learn these affairs. And he to learn the obligations and likewise to learn the prohibitions. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he referred to this in his book, وَكَذَلِكَ نُفَصِّلُ الْآيَاتِ وَلِتَسْتَبِينَ سَبِيلُ الْمُجْرِمِينَ. And like this, Allah, he says, and like this, we clarify the signs. And we clarify the signs for the people to be upon clarity and to be upon the guidance and truth. And likewise, وَلِتَسْتَبِينَ سَبِيلُ الْمُجْرِمِينَ. And also so that the ways of the criminals can be clear. So therefore, a believer, he will be upright and upon knowledge and insight with regards to the application of the commandments and also partaking in this life and that which is permissible, but also he must be upon clarity of the ways of the people of falsehood and the ways that are impermissible and not allowed. And in order to avoid that, and the people of knowledge, they mention al-diddu yudhiru husnahu al-diddu. The opposite of something, it clarifies the beauty of its opposite. So if somebody wants to know the reality of something truly and how beautiful it is, look at the opposite of that, or that which is contrary to that. If somebody wants to know the beauty of al-Islam, then let him look at disbelief and falsehood and the ways of the disbelievers, waliyadu billah. And this is something that is very clear. And likewise, if he wants to know the bounty of the one who has been guided to the Sunnah, the blessing that he has, and let him look at innovation and the people of innovation and the division that they have, and many of the affairs that of foolishness and falsehood that they have fallen into because of their innovation, waliyadu billah. Seeing that, a believer, he will see the bounty and the blessing of the Sunnah. So in this manner, likewise, a believer, he will learn about the good and he will learn about the evil. And there was a great companion from the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. His name is Hudhayfa ibn al-Yaman, radiyallahu anhu. It's been collected in Bukhari and Muslim that he said, كان الناس يسألون رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم عن الخير. That the people, they used to ask the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam about the goodness. وَكُنْتُ أَسْأَلُهُ عَنِ الشَّرْ مَخَافَةَ أَنْ يُدْرِكَنِي مَخَافَةَ أَنْ يُدْرِكَنِي. And I used to ask him about the evil because I was afraid that it would catch up with me, and meaning that I would fall into it. So a believer, he has to learn about the evil. He has to learn about falsehood in order to avoid it. Because we see that today many of the Muslims, they are involved in falsehood. They are involved in falsehood and deviation and misguidance, and even some of them are involved in shirk, and some of them are involved in affairs that invalidate their deen from the very asl. And they're not looking for that, and they're not pleased with that for themselves, but they are involved in that because of ignorance. And they have fallen into that because of ignorance. And their ulama is su, scholars, people who claim have a claim and stake to knowledge that are thereupon falsehood, and they're evil, and they have decorated their falsehood with the truth and deceived much of the people, until some people they think that tawheed is shirk, and that shirk is tawheed, and the likes like this, and they see backwards. وَلِيَاذُ بِاللَّهِ, because of ignorance and a lack of concern for their religion and their deen, a lack of concern for their religion and their deen, meaning they don't have concern or time to learn, to sit in the class and to benefit and to learn the details of their religion. So because of this, many of them have fallen into affairs that are not praiseworthy. And the likes like this, we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to guide us and to guide the believers. But this is the reality. It's incumbent to learn and to know. It's incumbent to learn and to know. And the Salaf, they used to say, and what has been narrated from them in this light, that they would say, كَيْفَ يَتَّقِي مَنْ لَا يَدْرِي مَا يَتَّقِي. How can somebody fear something and avoid it and stay away from it if he does not know what to fear and avoid? And how can he avoid it and stay away from it if he does not know what it is, if he does not know its reality? And in many people you will find, for example, they'll have amulets, and they have charms hanging in their windows, or in their cars. And alhamdulillah, maybe we don't see it much here around us, but in many of the Muslim countries, you will find that there. You will find that there's almost not one car that you would get in if you take a taxi, except they have something hanging from their rearview mirror, and they have eyes and the lights like that in hands. And if you ask them what is that for, they say it's protecting them from their ain, and that their car was in a wreck before, or they'll point. And I know this from experience. Why do you have that there? And he'll look, and he'll point to the rearview mirror. You see, it got knocked off. So I put that there. This is protecting me. And this is a type of shirk. وَلِيَاذُ بِاللَّهِ. And you're thinking that this thing, and this is also, yani, foolishness and ignorance. And how could a believer, how could a human being think that this thing, that they made it with their hand, and it's made from his hand, from some materials, and then he put it on his car, it's going to protect him from a wreck or from anything in this life. وَلِيَاذُ بِاللَّهِ. How could this thing ever protect? We take it and throw it out the window, and it's finished. And it's finished. And it's finished. Allah Azza wa Jalla, He is the one who protects. But Shaitan, he has deceived the people because of ignorance, and they have attached their hearts to other than Allah. They have attached their hearts to other than Allah. وَلِيَاذُ بِاللَّهِ, and hoping for benefit and hoping for protection and the likes like this. And this is a foul state. So therefore, a believer, he will learn. And he will learn so that he can avoid it and stay away from it. So he can avoid it and stay away from it upon clarity. Likewise, from the mentions with regards to this, the poets, one of the poets, he would say, عَرَفْتُ شَرَّ لَا لِشَرِّ لَكِنْ لِتَوَقِّيهِ, that I learned about the evil, not for the sake of the evil, but in order to avoid it. لَكِنْ لِتَوَقِّيهِ وَمَنْ لَمْ يَعْرِفْ شَرَّ مِنَ الْخَيْرِ يَقَعْ فِيهِ, and whoever does not know the difference between good and evil, then he will fall into it. And he will fall into the evil where he did not even know or expect it, like many of the people that we're discussing now. So therefore, a believer, he will be concerned about this affair, his religion, the bounty and the blessing about Islam, and he will show thanks, and he will not let anything, yani, he will not let anything harm his religion, and he will not sacrifice his religion. And I heard a beautiful statement, yani, in these last few days from Shaykh Abdul Razzaq, hafidhahullahu ta'ala, and he said, إِنَّ الْعَبْدَ يُكُونُ شَحِيحًا بِدِينِهِ يُكُونَ شَحِيحًا بِدِينِهِ, that a believer, he will be stingy with his religion. He will be stingy with his deen. He's not going to give his deen up to nobody for nothing. If there's a situation where it's an individual or the deen, then that person, he's just going to have to go away. Or that person, he's going to have to take a loss. Because a believer, he's not going to give up anything from his deen. He's not going to compromise his religion. As for you need some money, or you need some help or some affairs from the dunya, inshallah, we can help you. Or we'll take a loss in that affair. As for the religion, we don't take a loss in that. We'll be stingy with the religion. We hold fast to that and don't compromise that. The obedience of Allah and His Messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, this is a person's deen. He'll be stingy with that. He'll hold on to that. He will not give that up for nothing and for nobody. If a person, he does not have this in his heart and this love for his deen, then you will find him that he will sell his deen for a dollar. He'll sell his deen for a dollar quickly, or for a trade, or for a quick buck, or for some pleasure. And the likes like this, he will give it up in a minute. He'll give it up in a minute. He will have fun, and he will laugh and joke on account of his religion. His religion will be the first thing to go. As for his pockets, and as for his money, and as for his wealth or his property, then this is what he will preserve and maintain first. And this is a mistake and an error. And this is failure, وَلِيَاذُ بِاللَّهِ. But rather the great blessing that one would cherish and be concerned with first and foremost, that he'll be stingy with. And he will not give it to nobody for nothing. his deen and his religion. His deen and his religion. So with this yani in mind, yani reminding ourselves of the importance and the of this blessing, and what is required to maintain that blessing is to know everything that will corrupt it and everything that will bring deficiency, and from that learning about the major sins specifically. So we begin to read this book, and I remind myself and I remind you, may Allah bless you and increase you in good, that any embarking upon this affair, a believer, he has to check his intention, and that the reason why he would want to read the likes of this book in order to increase in knowledge and to know these affairs in detail, to know that which is displeasing to Allah and the affairs that earned the anger of Allah, in order to avoid them and leave them. So believer, he will not read the likes of this book or sit in the likes of these classes just to increase in knowledge and have more insight in the likes like that, but rather in order to apply it. So he will want to know these affairs and review these affairs so that he can be upon clarity and leave them and stay away from them. So this requires this intention here. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give us success. So the author, rahimahullah, he begins, Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. He began, as he normally begins his works, rahimahullah ta'ala, with the basmala, beginning with the name of Allah, the most gracious and the most merciful. Wa bihi nasta'in. And in him we seek help and we seek his aid. He began like this, rahimahullah ta'ala, with a mention of the name of Allah and his attributes, the most gracious and the most merciful, and seeking aid and assistance from Allah. So seeking the bounty and the blessing of Allah Azza wa Jalla and his aid in the beginning. And this is the way of a believer in all of his affairs. If he's going to seek knowledge and study, he will seek the aid of Allah. If he's going to worship and pray, he seeks the aid of Allah. Rather, in every issue and every affair in the life of the believer, he has trust and reliance upon Allah. And he will seek the aid and the help of Allah too, to perform that. Even from the affairs of the dunya, but even more rightfully the affairs of the deen. إِيَّاكَ نَعْبُدُ وَإِيَّاكَ نَسْتَعِينَ إِيَّاكَ نَعْبُدُ وَإِيَّاكَ نَسْتَعِينَ. You alone do we worship, and you alone do we seek your aid, do we seek aid and help. And in order to worship Allah, you have to have his help, subhanahu wa ta'ala. So he began like this, وَقَوْلُ اللَّهِ تَعَالَى, and the statement of Allah the Most High, إِن تَجْتَنِبُوا كَبَائِرَ مَا تُنْهَوْنَ عَنْهُ نُكَفِّرْ عَنْكُمْ سَيِّئَاتِكُمْ. الْآيَةَ وَقَوْلُهُ تَعَالَى الَّذِينَ يَجْتَنِبُونَ كَبَائِرَ الْإِثْمِ وَالْفَوَاحِشَ إِلَّا اللَّمَمَ. الْآيَةَ. So we see that he began mentioning two verses. And this is the methodology of the author in this work and in all of his works. He will mention the names of titles and chapters. And after that, he will mention the statements of Allah Azza wa Jal. And then following that with the mention of narrations of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, and sometimes some narrations from the Sahaba and the Tabi'een and the scholars of Hadith like this. And very rarely will he have statements of his own, rahimahullahu ta'ala. So basically we see that there's nothing here except for any from his words, Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, wa bihi nasta'in. And then he will say, wa qawluhu ta'ala, like this. And then to the end of it, mentioning the verses and the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, without having any commentary from himself. And the manner that he does this, rahimahullah, he was given great success yani in his knowledge and detailed understanding of these texts. And Allah blessed him to be able to arrange them and to select them. So he went into the book of Allah Azza wa Jal, and he extracted two verses and put them in order in this manner. And then he looked into the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, a number of narrations in the books of hadith, all of them, and extract a few narrations and put them in order and arrangement. And this is a blessing and a favor from Allah. And we'll see the great success that he was given in this work, like his previous works that we have studied as well, rahimahullah ta'ala. So the statement of Allah the Most High, if you stay away from the major sins that you have been prohibited, then we will expiate your minor sins. And then he says, al-ayata, meaning until the end of the verse. So akmil al-ayata, complete the verse. What is after this? وَنُدْخِلْكُمْ مُدْخَالَ الْكَرِيمَ. So the verse continues, and he's saying here al-ayata, meaning he didn't mention the whole verse, but you should complete the verse. So in tajtanibu kaba'ira ma tunhawna anhu nukaffir ankum sayi'atikum wa nudkhilkum mudkhalan karima. This is the verse right here. That if you stay away from the major sins that you have been prohibited, meaning that Allah has forbade you from, if you stay away from them, then we will expiate your sins, your minor sins. Then we'll expiate your minor sins and we'll admit you a noble admittance. And we'll admit you a noble admittance, meaning into the paradise, and in a noble manner. In a noble manner. Wa nudkhilkum mudkhalan karima. And the next verse after that, he mentioned, rahimahullahu ta'ala, الَّذِينَ يَجْتَنِبُونَ كَبَائِرَ الْإِثْمِ وَالْفَوَاحِشَ إِلَّا اللَّمَمْ. And those who stay away from the major sins, and the major sins likewise of indecency, the major sins and the actions of indecency, except for the minor sins, and he referring to the attributes of the righteous, and the people who are considered muhsineen, that Allah has considered them muhsineen. And this is from their traits, that they stay away from the major sins and likewise the actions of indecency except for the minor sins. Maybe sometimes maybe they will fall into that. Inna rabbaka wasi'ul maghfirah. Until the end of the verse, verily your Lord, He has vast mercy. Verily your Lord, He has vast mercy. So with regards to these two noble verses, we see that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He is using the word ijtanaba. Talking about the major sins and to avoid them and leave them, Allah Azza wa Jalla in these verses, He's not mentioning to stay away from them. He didn't say in tatruku, aw aladina yatrukuna. He didn't say it like this, subhanahu wa ta'ala, which means to leave off. But rather He says in tajtanibu, aw aladina yajtanibuna. What ijtinab, the people of knowledge, they mentioned this word here, al ijtinab, it has the meaning of tark. It has the meaning of tark, to leave something. But it has the meaning of tark with ziyada. It has the meaning of tark, to leave something and even more than that. So al-ijtinab huwa tarku shay wa ibti'adu anhu. And he tarku shay wa ibti'adu anhu. That a person, he will leave something and then he will stay away from it. That a person, he will leave something and he will stay away from it. So Allah Azza wa Jalla, He's not saying to leave this thing. He's not saying to leave the major sins or those who leave the major sins, but rather those who leave them and avoid them. They leave them and they avoid them and they make effort to stay away from them. This is what this word ijtanaba means. يَجْتَنِبُهُ أَن يَجْعَلَ هَذَا الشَّيْ فِي جَانِبٍ وَهُوَ فِي جَانِبٍ آخر. That he will put something in one side and he will be in the other. And this is what it means in English likewise, to avoid something. And the English language, like for example, somebody would say, oh, so-and-so is avoiding me. Meaning that whenever so-and-so comes, he'll go the other way. Or if he heard that so-and-so is at this one place, he will not go there. Or if he had heard that somebody, that so-and-so is coming to that one place and he's there, he will leave there. So this person here, in order to avoid that individual, he has to make effort. He has to make effort. So he's not just leaving him and then possibly he'll show up and be there. Rather, he's leaving him and then after that, he's making effort to do whatever he can to not be around him. This is the word ijtanaba. We understand that? Al-ijtinab. This is what is required. This is what is required. This is the command here. And this is what is required with regards to the major sins. In tajtanibu. كَبَائِرَ مَا تُنْهَوْنَ عَنْهُ. If you stay away from and avoid, leave off and stay far away from the major sins, this is the reward from that. This is the reward from that, until the end of the verse. So this is the first benefit that we see from these texts here, these two verses, that what is required for a believer is to not only leave off these major sins, but to avoid them entirely. To leave them and avoid them entirely. And now we go back to that statement of the Salaf. كَيْفَ يَتَّقِي مَنْ لَا يَدْرِي مَا يَتَّقِي. How can somebody stay away from something if he does not know what it is? How can one stay away from the major sins if he does not know what the major sins are? So again, it requires for a person to learn. It requires for a person to learn. And the true mujahid, the one who is truly striving in the path of Allah Azza wa Jal and fighting in the path of Allah Azza wa Jal, he is this person here. He is this person here. It has come from the hadith of Fadal ibn Ubaid radiallahu anhu, that he said that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, al-mujahidu man jahada nafsahu fi ta'atillah. The true mujahid, he is the one who has strove, he is fighting against his own soul. The one who is striving against his own soul in the obedience of Allah. And the obedience of Allah. The one who is a real mujahid, fighting in the path of Allah. Mujahid fi sabirillah, man jahada nafsahu fi ta'atillah. The one who is truly fighting and striving in the path of Allah, he is the one who strives against his own soul. He strives against his own soul in the obedience of Allah Azza wa Jal. In the obedience of Allah Azza wa Jal. So therefore a believer, he has to leave off those major sins and avoid them. And that means that he will not go to the places where they occur. And he will not put himself in a situation, and that means closing all of the avenues and locking all of the doors that lead to those affairs. And many of the means that lead to those major sins today, we carry them in our pockets, and they are with us whenever we're in public and in private. Any of these devices and this internet, many people that have entered into the major sins, rather some of them have even entered into disbelief and the likes like this and misguidance because of the phone and the internet and that which they see on YouTube and these different websites and the likes like this. So a believer, he has to be cautious about that. He has to be cautious about that and close the avenues that lead. And he, not only will he stay away from them, but he will leave them. It says, come, and he will leave them and he will avoid them. It says, come, likewise, any this understanding, al-ijtinab, is similar in verses of the Quran. Allah, he says, وَلَا تَقَرَبُوا الزِّنَا, يعني النهي عن قربان الشيء. It's like al-ijtinab, al-amr bil-ijtinab. Allah, he has prohibited from even coming close to certain sins. وَلَا تَقَرَبُوا مَالَ الْيَتِيمِ. Don't come close. Don't even come close to the wealth of the orphan. You need to use it in a manner that is oppressive or impermissible. Don't come close to fornication. So Allah, he didn't say don't do fornication. Rather, don't come close to it. This is the same issue of ijtinab. And so that means that a person, he has to take all of the means that he can to stay away from that and to avoid that. That means he has to make effort and he has to strive against his soul upon obedience. With regards to at-ta'ah, obedience. The people of knowledge, they mentioned that obedience, it occurs by performing the commandments and avoiding and staying away from the prohibitions. Performing the commandments and staying away from the prohibitions for the sake of Allah and hoping for His reward. This is called ta'ah. This is called ta'ah. And the commandments, they are obligatory and there are commandments that are recommended. And likewise, the prohibitions, there are prohibitions that are obligatory to leave them and avoid them. They're haram and there are other prohibitions that are disliked. So to perform actions of obedience, a believer, he will perform the obligations and likewise perform the recommended affairs. All of this is ta'ah. Also from the actions of obedience is to leave off the haram and to stay away from that which is impermissible entirely and to even leave off some of the affairs that are disliked, So a believer, he will leave off the haram and he will leave off the doubtful affairs and he will leave off some affairs that are disliked. All of this is ta'ah and all of this is obedience. Even leaving off some of the things that are permissible out of fear of falling into haram, this is also considered ta'ah for the one who has a beautiful intention. The opposite of that is called ma'asiyah, al-ma'asiyah, disobedience. Disobedience occurs by leaving off a commandment, an obligatory commandment, by leaving it off. There's an obligation that one, he must perform it. If he were to leave that off, this is the action of disobedience, and this is a sin. And likewise, the actions of disobedience, they occur by performing and committing or perpetrating the prohibitions. Both of these are considered actions of disobedience. So, yani here we see, إِن تَجْتَنِبُوا كَبَائِرَ مَا تُنْهَوْنَ عَنْهُ. If you avoid and stay away from the major sins that you have been prohibited from. And from this understanding, what comes to mind first and foremost is to avoid and stay away from that which is haram. Sah? This is very clear. But the people of knowledge likewise, they clarify this also means to avoid and stay away from leaving off something that's obligatory. To avoid and stay away from that likewise. A believer, he has to perform the obligations. There are certain obligations. If he were to leave them, it's a major sin. If he were to leave them, it's a major sin. If he were to leave the prayer without any excuse, and he were to let it go beyond his time without any proper excuse, it's a major sin. This is a major sin. If a person were to break his fast in the daytime of Ramadan while he's a resident without any excuse because of his desire, this is a major sin. If a believer, he were to not give his zakat, if he were not to not give his zakat and to hold that out of greed and out of bukhul and shuh because he's stingy for his wealth, this is a major sin. So to avoid the major things that one has been prohibited from, this requires for him, no doubt, what is clear, to avoid and leave off that which is haram, yani from the manhiyat, the affairs that are impermissible and prohibited. But likewise, he must be steadfast upon performing the obligations, and he must not leave off anything from the actions that are obligatory, that it is considered a major sin if he left it. And to be compliant to this verse. We understand that? This issue here is clear. If we look into the affair of Iblis and Adam, Iblis, what did he do? How did he go astray and disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? By not complying to the commandment. He did not do what he was ordered. He did not do what he was ordered. Nam aba wastakbara wa kana min al-kafirin. He refused and he was arrogant and he did not perform the command. And Allah, he mentioned this in more than one place in his book. فَفَسَقَ عَنْ أَمْرِ رَبِّهِ, that he turned away from the obedience of the command of his Lord. Yani, this is the way. So he disobeyed Allah Azza wa Jal by not performing the obligation. By not performing the obligation. It came in Sahih Muslim from the hadith of Abi Hurairah radiallahu anhu, that Iblis, he said, أُمِرَ ابْنُ آدَمْ بِسُجُودِ فَسَجَدَ فَلَهُ الْجَنَّةِ, that the son of Adam, he was commanded to prostrate, and he prostrated, and now he will have Jannah. وَأُمِرْتُ أَنْ أَسْجُودَ فَأَبَيْتُ فَلِلنَّارِ, and I was commanded to prostrate, and I refused, so therefore he will have the fire. So he'll have the fire. The point is here, that this disobedience occurred how? By not performing the obligation, not fulfilling the commandment. As for Adam, alayhi salam, how did the disobedience occur from him? He fell in to the prohibition. He fell into the prohibition. So these are the ways of disobedience that a believer, he has to avoid them, all of them. He has to avoid all of them. Any meaning? He has to be patient upon performing the obligations and steadfast upon that, and avoid leaving them or being deficient with regards to performing them. And he has to be patient likewise upon staying away from and avoiding and leaving off entirely the prohibitions, that which is impermissible. This is the affair here. إِن تَجْتَنِبُوا كَبَائِرَ مَا تُنْهَوْنَ عَنْهُ, if you do that, now comes the reward. نُكَفِّرْ عَنْكُمْ سَيِّئَاتِكُمْ. This is the second benefit from this verse. The second benefit is that if you stay away from the major sins, there are two rewards. There's two fruits and benefits that a believer, he gets from that. The first one is that his minor sins will be expiated. By avoiding the major sins, the minor sins will be expiated. By avoiding this action of ijtinab, ijtinab al-kabair. Naam, by staying away from them, the minor sins will be expiated. And the second benefit in this verse with regards to staying away from the major sins, وَنُدْخِلْكُمْ مُدْخَلًا كَرِيمًا, and we'll admit you into a noble admittance. Meaning that Allah Azza wa Jalla will be pleased with that person, and he will show mercy to that person, and he will enter him into his paradise in a noble and in the best manner. So these are two great benefits from staying away from the major sins. So again, from the benefit of these verses we see here, and in the first one, the issue of al-ijtinab, and this requires al-mujahada, mujahadat nafs. This requires for a person to stay away from and avoid these major sins. He must strive against his soul. He must strive against his soul in the obedience of Allah Azza wa Jal, striving against his soul to learn about those prohibitions and learn about those commandments, how to perform them and stay upon them, and how to avoid those prohibitions and the likes like this, and strive against his soul to be upon that and to apply that and to live by way of that and abide by that. So this is the first affair here with regards to that. After this, likewise, we see that the benefit and the fruit of avoiding the major sins is that it's a reason and a means for Allah Azza wa Jal to expiate the minor sins. And likewise, it's a means to gain the pleasure and the mercy of Allah Azza wa Jal, and that Allah, he would admit a person because of that into his paradise. But not only admit him into paradise, but rather to admit him mudkhalan kareeman. Mudkhalan kareeman. He would be admitted in the most noble manner. And this means that Allah will be pleased with him, and that Allah will honor him. And in this life before the hereafter. In this life before the hereafter. So these are our great benefits here. Likewise, we see from the benefits of these two verses, the author began with Taqseem al-Dhunub. Taqseem al-Dhunubi ila al-Kaba'ir wa-Saghair. That the sins are different categories, that there are major sins and minor sins. And these are mentioned in this verse here. In تَجْتَنِبُوا كَبَائِرَ مَا تُنْهَوْنَ عَنْهُ نُكَفِّرْ عَنْكُمْ سَيِّئَاتِكُمْ, that if you avoid and stay away from the major sins that you have been prohibited, then we'll expiate your smaller sins or your minor sins. They will expiate your minor sins. And likewise, in the other verse, it clarified the same affair. أَلَّذِينَ يَجْتَنِبُونَ كَبَائِرَ الْإِثْمِ وَالْفَوَاحِشَ إِلَّا اللَّمَمِ, those who avoid and stay away from the major sins and the actions of indecency except for al-lamam. The people of knowledge, they mention al-lamam as-sagair. They're the minor sins. They're the minor sins. So we benefit from this affair here that the actions of disobedience, although all of them are detestable and all of them are foul and evil and in reality ignorance, as has come from the companions. كُلُّ مَنْ أَصَى اللَّهُ فَهُوَ جَاهِلٌ. Everyone who has disobeyed Allah, then verily he's ignorant. Then verily he's ignorant. But this disobedience is not one level. It's not one level. Whether there are actions that are major sins, and the fact that they have this description, major, kabair, kabira, sometimes it's described as عظام, حوباً عظيمة, a great crime, a great sin. And this is an indication that this is something serious, that these affairs here, they're nothing to play with or take lightly, that this affair is very dangerous. And even the minor sins, likewise, they're nothing to take lightly as well. But compared to the major sins are more severe. No doubt about that. Even there are some actions that are from the major sins that will take one out of Islam. وَلِيَذُ بِاللَّهِ. And even the major sins themselves, they're not the same level. We will see the evidences the author he mentioned with regards to these affairs. Insha'Allahu ta'ala. Insha'Allahu ta'ala. So also from the benefits of these verses, we see here that that by avoiding and staying away from the major sins, likewise it's a means to obtain forgiveness. It's a means to obtain forgiveness. And this is in the second verse. الَّذِينَ يَجْتَنِبُونَ كَبَائِرَ الْإِثْمِ وَالْفَوَاحِشَ إِلَّا اللَّمَمْ إِنَّ رَبَّكَ وَاسِعُ الْمَغْفِرَةِ. So Allah Azza wa Jal, he closed this noble verse here with a mention of one of his names or attributes. And one of his attributes, إِنَّ رَبَّكَ وَاسِعُ الْمَغْفِرَةِ. That Allah Azza wa Jal, he has vast forgiveness. And the people of tafsir, from those who have discussed this affair, Shaykh al-Islam, and likewise al-Imam al-Sa'di rahimahullah, they mentioned a principle with regards to the verses of Allah Azza wa Jal that are closed with the names and attributes of Allah. And many times we will find a verse and it's closed. At the end of that verse, there are names and attributes of Allah mentioned. Many, many verses that are closed like this, sometimes with more than one name or attribute of Allah Azza wa Jal. More than one name sometimes. And the people of knowledge, they mentioned that every verse that is closed with the name of Allah Azza wa Jal, or more than one name of Allah Azza wa Jal, then the meaning of that verse and the understanding of that verse has a relationship to that name. And there's a relationship to why Allah Azza wa Jal, he closed the verse mentioning this attribute and this name. So we see here that those who stay away from the major sins, then Allah, he closed this mentioning here, إِنَّ رَبَّكَ وَاسِعُ الْمَغْفِرَةِ. The verity, your Lord, he has vast and great forgiveness, any forgiveness that is great and vast. So therefore, those who avoid these major sins, then they are the people who will obtain the forgiveness of Allah Azza wa Jal. And he will cover their faults as has preceded. And the covering of the faults and the forgiveness is even greater than the takfir and the expiation of the sins. So a believer who avoids the major sins, he has both of them. His minor sins will be expiated, and likewise, he will have forgiveness and mercy from Allah Azza wa Jal. Likewise, he will have forgiveness and mercy from Allah Azza wa Jal. With regards to the first verse that he mentioned, this is in Surah An-Nisa. Naam. This is mentioned here, the 31st verse. It has come in Tafsir Tabari, rahimahullah ta'ala, that he mentioned a narration with this chain to Ibn Mas'ud, radiyallahu anhu. And Ibn Mas'ud, radiyallahu anhu, he said, كُلُّ مَا نَهَى اللَّهُ عَنْهُ مِنْ أَوَّلِ هَذِهِ السُّورَةِ إِلَى هَذِهِ الْآيَةِ فَهِيَ كَبِيرًا. فَهِيَ كَبِيرًا. And this is a great benefit in order to identify some of the major sins. Not all of the major sins, but some of them have been clarified here. Ibn Mas'ud, he said that everything that Allah has prohibited from the beginning of this surah, Surah An-Nisa, all the way to this verse here, it's a major sin. It's a major sin. So if a person wanted to look for some of the major sins in the Quran, he could begin by reading Surah An-Nisa, the first 30 verses. And there, the prohibitions that come therein, all of them are major sins. And likewise, this is another benefit that is a means, bi'idhnillahi ta'ala, to open the heart whenever one is reciting the Quran, or if it's being recited, one is listening, that he'll be able to ponder and he'll reflect. If you were to listen now to Surah An-Nisa and he heard Allah prohibiting this and prohibiting that, and these affairs, that knowing that these are the major sins, that these are the most severe of the actions of disobedience, yani that's lesser than shirk. So these are great benefits that the people of knowledge have mentioned. And we close with that. هذا وصلى الله على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم.